Adam, it's going to be a really special night when Antti Raanta's jersey goes to the rafters of MSG in about 10 years or so.
It's going to be as emotional as this podcast is going to be when we do our three-hour Josh Juris retrospective.
3 hours?
In the C-block. Oh, the moments he had, 3 hours is cutting it short.
It was a special 6 weeks, wasn't it, Nick?
I can't handle either of you.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. We'll be joined by Larry Brooks from the New York Post in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about Rick Nash possibly being back in the mix as early as Thursday night in Dallas. Nick, Adam, how are you?
Doing well, Brian.
Doing well.
Antti Raanta finally loses a game, although it was through no fault of his own. I thought he was every bit as good as he was the previous two games.
He might have even been better.
He was really good.
He was really good, but you know what? He lost. Get out. Now it's Henrik's time.
Get out, he says.
Get back on the bench. It's Henrik's time.
I would agree that Lundqvist is going to start in Dallas on Thursday night, but I give major, major props, Nick, to Lane Mignot for having the grapefruits to do this. I mean, this is Henrik Lundqvist we're talking about.
Yep.
Antti Raanta was performing. Hank was not. It was Raanta's net for 3 or 4 games.
I agree, and Raanta deserved every second that he got. Look, I've been saying that Lundqvist was at some point going to need to put the Rangers on his back and get them through the injuries, get them to where they're healthy and these guys are back and they're playing at the level that we saw earlier in the season. And Antti Raanta, of all people, was the guy to win 3 straight games and pitch back-to-back shutouts. It's unbelievable. And he played brilliant. Like you said, AV having the grapefruits to make that move. I think Raanta deserved it and forced his hand to give him every start that he earned.
I was surprised he started on Sunday, only because it was 3 games in 4 nights.
Right.
So for that reason alone, I thought he was great against Chicago and he definitely deserved to play. But I felt 3 games in 4 nights is a lot, especially for a backup goalie who's usually playing once every week, once every 2 weeks. But he was great Sunday, and he was great last night. But, he was the hot guy. You had to go with him in the same way that you go with the hot guy if Michael Grabner's scoring. You keep giving him minutes. You keep going with guys until, they stop. And he didn't stop last night, but his time, unfortunately, as the starter is over.
I don't know how you could have pulled the guy after 2 straight shutouts.
Yeah,
you just couldn't. He deserved the start last night.
I think Sunday's game, Adam brings up a good point. That, yeah. I think that's when it really hit home for Lundqvist. Like, oh my God, 3 games in 4 nights and I'm still not playing. But yeah. I think that's when the message really hits home for a guy like Lundqvist. Who, it's been his net for over a decade. But if you're not performing, you're not going to play.
And I think Henrik, as tough as it was, he understood it. As annoying as
handled
it was
it very well.
That he wasn't starting. It was like, look, the guy's was great Friday night. He's the only reason we really won that game. He deserves to start. Like, I want to play.
Right.
I'm the franchise. I want to play, but he deserves to play. And as annoying as that is, it's hopefully only going to motivate him to be even better.
I think for the first time in really, a decade, there's a fire under Henrik Lundqvist right now. And it's not to say Raanta's going to take his job or Raanta's the future or they're trading Henrik Lundqvist. But hey, you haven't lived up to your $8.5 million contract this year. And that's just a fact. Lundqvist has not been Lundqvist.
I'm very curious to see if he starts, and I think he will, against the Stars, how he responds. I mean, this could really be his biggest performance of the season, because if this doesn't light a fire under Henrik Lundqvist, I don't know what would.
And I don't ever think it's a matter of lighting a fire.
I think
Paul Raanta was great. There's no doubt about it. Part of the reason Raanta was so great, the Rangers started to play defense again. They started back-checking and actually supporting him. If they do that for Henrik Lundqvist, Henrik Lundqvist is going to be a better goalie, too.
Is that part of it? Do they play differently when Raanta's in there? It almost seems like they pay more attention to detail in the defensive end when Lundqvist isn't playing.
I couldn't agree more. I think not only is that blatantly noticeable through the eye test, but the advanced stats completely support that. And it's not just Raanta. That's been the case
for years. That's got to drive Hank nuts watching that on the bench, right?
As far as the team playing better in front of the backup. And I look at it one of two ways. I don't know if the backup, they're better playing the puck. Does that help the defense more? Let's say 3 times a game the puck gets dumped in and the backup goalie plays the puck behind the net. Does that make it easier for 3 cleaner breakouts? And with Lundqvist in, do those start to add up on the defenseman because they have their back turn, they have to take an extra hit? Or do they just know that Henrik Lundqvist is behind them, so maybe their foot's off the gas a little bit defensively because they know they got a wall.
They just seem more lackadaisical at him when Hank is in there. Well, it's Hank. We'll be fine.
Right. I think it's like a combination of what Nick was saying and some other things. You know, I think that the teams that they're playing have an impact on how they're playing defensively. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, we turned it over, but, hey, look who's behind us. It's probably the best goalie in the NHL since the 05 lockout. Like, here's our first ballot Hall of Famer. Here's the guy who always makes the save. Whereas, like, it's different now than when it was Henrik and it was Steve Valiquette and it was Henrik and it was Chad Johnson. And then, you know, since Marty Biron, the Rangers have always had pretty good backup goalies, but there's still a gulf between them that I think that there's always this feeling like, we don't know this guy. We don't trust this guy. We got to really hunker down. And with Henrik, it's like, whatever. The guy always makes the save.
And one thing I'm most excited about is the play of the other Rangers defenseman last night. No Holden Ryan McDonagh.
26 minutes.
Nick Holden stepping up. I was reading an article. I forgot who wrote it, but Mark Stahl has been incredibly complimentary of Nick Holden, saying even that Holden has helped Stahl turn his game around because it's given him more space. He's been able to do more things because of the way Holden plays, and that, I think, it is tremendous. Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi, and Kevin Klein all over 23 minutes.
Yeah, they played really well.
That's huge. They turned back the clock a little bit, and it wasn't just last night. The defense, like you guys have been saying, has been damn good in front of Ranta.
You know what else has been damn good across the league is the goaltending. I mean, these games against Chicago proved how many quality goalies there are. No Hank and no Corey Crawford, and yet we see some of the best goaltending around. It was unbelievable.
I mean, Scott Darling?
He's been fantastic. Yeah. Now there's already talk of how he's going to look in Vegas next year.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing with Ranta and everyone else. And it's just like, they're all of a sudden, like, there are all these good goalies. And, you know, certain teams carry three goalies, and they might not really have one goalie. Yeah. I'm not going to say what team that is. you know, there's a lot of talent in net in the NHL right now.
Let's talk about Rick Nash for a couple minutes before we get to Larry. Sounds like he could be back as early as Thursday. Rangers have really, we talked about the adversity over these past few weeks. Sounds like they've overcome it, and away they go again, right? As long as Hank figures out his game.
Until last night, they were undefeated without Rick Nash. You know, other guys were stepping up, and, you know, it's only going to get better when Nash comes in on Nicholas Jensen, who I've liked.
I agree.
Or Jensen. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. I've liked him. Unfortunately, he's going to come out probably for Nash. And then, you know, you see what happens with Frivik, who's been good on that line with Faust and Lindberg. But, you know, they've had a lot of guys step up and with Nash out, and hopefully they keep up their game when Nash comes back.
The Rangers need that extra scoring punch now. They turned back the clock. They won a few games defensively, 1-0, you know, they won those games. They lose last night 2-1. You could tell the offense is missing a little bit of that knockout punch, and Rick Nash had it for a while. This season, Nash has been good, and when him, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich get back, if the Rangers' offense, look, I don't expect them to score four goals a game like they were doing earlier in the year, but if they're consistently putting threes on the board with the fours and the fives mixed in, they're going to win a lot of games.
Jimmy Vesey, too, right? Adam playing out of position. He said he only played one game at Harvard on the opposite side, but he's been really good, too.
I mean, he deserved one, maybe two goals last year. He was their best
seven
forward.
Shots on goal.
He was really good. His game's gone up. A lot of guys, you know, Zuccarello, I think, is having an interesting year. I'd compare it to Nash in the past, where he's working hard, he's getting his opportunities, but he's not scoring.
And it's a good thing the Rangers are continuing to find ways to win games, like, because the Metropolitan Division, we'll get into further detail later in the show, but holy smokes, has it been unbelievable.
Unbelievable, I think, is the exact word. It's ridiculous.
Half the division's on, like, a 6 or 7-game winning streak. Phillies won 9 in a row.
1 through 5 would be in first or second place
it's
in every division in the end. The fifth place team would be in first or second in every division in the NHL.
It's really unbelievable. Ryan McDonagh also didn't play because of the flu, late scratch. Sounds like he tried to do warm-ups again. The Rangers overcoming things. It's huge.
And not just that, they missed Brady Shea for like almost
whole second period, right?
Yeah, I kept waiting, like, where's the update? It's clear this guy's not coming back tonight. And then he came back, you know, he played well. Clendenning, I thought, was pretty good last night.
He only played like 11 minutes, but he was good when he was in there.
Yeah, he's been really impressive this season, and more so than I really thought he would be. He's definitely a better player than I expected.
How about Jesper Fasnik?
He scored.
It's okay, right?
He did that.
You've been down on Fast.
That's my guy. Hey, what was it? His third goal of the year, I think?
Three goals in 31 games.
So, I mean, Look, he's not going to be an offensive juggernaut. He is very good defensively, and he holds his own in the offensive zone. I think he is what he is at this point, but it was nice to see him get on the score sheet.
Let's get to Larry. He's on the phone. Larry, Brian, and Nick, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
We're great. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Does Hank play Thursday night? What do you think?
I would think so. If not then, when?
Right, you know, exactly.
I think yesterday's decision was certainly debatable, but you know, debatable but certainly defensible in the sense that Ranta was coming off two straight shutouts, three straight wins, so okay, keep it going. But even though he played as well last night as he had in the three previous games, they lost. And so I think now it becomes a much simpler decision for Mino. Honestly, I just don't know what the explanation would be if he doesn't play tomorrow night. Yeah,
Larry, did you see any changes in Henrik's demeanor throughout this four-game stretch here? Did you ever sense that he was agitated that he wasn't in?
Well, he never showed it. I'm sure he was frustrated.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, whether he was angry, you know, I'm not sure I'd go that far because he never indicated that. So, what I've seen from Lundqvist, just, you know, his body language, the way he's responded to questions, the way he's worked at the morning skates is no different than anything I've seen for 12 years, really. He's basically been saying the same thing now for three or four days that he understands Anthony's playing well. He's, you know, he, meaning himself, is working hard to get back in and that he needs to be better. And, that's no secret. It's been an interesting, interesting to try and critique his game because as he has said many times, in 60 minute games, he's been outstanding, you know, in many of them for 59 minutes or 58 minutes. And yet there's just the one funny one that's gone in, you know, a little bit too often. So, he knows that. This isn't unprecedented. It's unprecedented that he sat this long, but it's not unprecedented for him to have a kind of a slow start. He's always been a fairly slow starter.
Yeah.
This one's gone on a little bit long. But we know, history tells us what happened in 13-14. It took him a long time to get his game together that year. So it's important that he plays well. And it would be in any event, because there's very little margin for error right now in the East, so certainly in their division. So it's important that he plays well for the most basic reason, because they need him to play well in order to win. They need big-time goaltending in order to win. So he needs to play well.
What's your take on the Rangers' play in front of the goaltenders? Because it seems like they paid much more attention to detail in front of Ranta, let's say, than they did in front of Lundqvist. I think that was noticeable during this stretch.
Not sure. I'm not sure. I didn't notice that much of a difference. I think once in a while, when the goaltender gives up a kind of a funny one, it affects the team. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, if they played better, maybe it was because Ranta was so solid. I think they've actually played pretty well in their own end of the ice this year. You know, there have been exceptions when they've been stuck in there for too long. But I think one of the biggest differences between this year's team and last year's team is the fact that they can defend. And when they are in their own end, they you know, they're pretty good in winning battles. They're certainly very good in contesting pucks. They've been much better in front of the net this year than they were last year. So if they've looked a little bit sharper in the last four games, possibly some of it's because Nash hasn't played, and they're playing a little bit different kind of a game. They're, you know, they started the year with four lines that rolled offensively, and with Nash out, with Buchnevich out, obviously we know Zibanejad's been out for a long time now, and he will be for a while. So the last few games, you've kind of seen a top six and a bottom six, and the bottom six more checking oriented, more forecheck oriented. So. I think there are a lot of factors. They've certainly tightened up, but I'm not sure it's because of Ranta, unless it's the byproduct of how well he's played.
Larry, how much credit does AV get for these past four games? I mean, I know it's easy for a coach to ride a hot goalie. I get it. But the fact that it is Henrik Lundqvist and the fact that he had the grapefruits, as I said earlier in the show, to sit Lundqvist for four straight games, he deserves some credit for that, right?
Ask me in a month how this works out. I think he deserves credit for having the courage of his convictions, but yeah, he always has had that. He's a big time professional coach. He's a big time NHL coach.
Yep.
He's won a lot of games. He hasn't won the Stanley Cup. We know that.
Right.
Gotten to the finals twice. He's won a couple, maybe three, right? President's
yeah,
Cups.
Yep.
And so he's a big time coach. Last year when people were wondering why he didn't play Dylan McIlrath. He didn't play Dylan McIlrath. I'm not equating McIlrath to Lundqvist.
Right.
I understand, he's going to go with his gut. He's going to go with what he feels best. But I also think that by going with Ranta four straight, he's opened up a talking point. And he's opened up a debate here. Because let's say Lundqvist comes back and his next few weeks mirror his last few weeks.
Right, then what do you do?
Does he go back to,
right?
So what's the threshold now? Is it simply, look, Hank needed these four games, Anthony was playing great, and now we're going back to our plan, Hank will play two out of three. So we'll see. I don't think there's ever been any doubt that Vigneault, like any successful coach, is going to do things his way.
Do you think the Rangers have righted the ship as far as the injuries up front go here, Larry? Do you think Nash coming back, Buchnevich seems like he's closer now than he was?
I don't know how close Buchnevich is. I honestly don't know how close Buchnevich is.
Well, go ahead.
No, I think have they righted? They've played better in the last four games. They've played better. They've done more with a little bit less. These last four games, they do have guys who aren't going offensively, but they've played better. They haven't spent nearly as much time in their own end over the last four games. So that's clearly been an improvement. Last night's game was a really entertaining game. Both
phenomenal.
Teams attacked. It was a 2-1 game, and there weren't a lot of shots on net, but both teams were attacking each other. A lot of plays broken up at the lines. Very good game. Very few stops of play. The Rangers have played pretty well. I thought their game in Winnipeg was good. Obviously, their game in Chicago was good. They grinded down the Devils after the first 10 or 12 minutes. So and now they'll have a bit of a challenge going on the road to Dallas and Nashville for sure. This isn't a powerhouse team. They have far exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
They got off so well so quickly that I think it's lost that by how much they've exceeded expectations so far. So it's on them to keep it going.
Last night aside, Larry, it's huge that the Rangers have been finding ways to win games because this division's been unbelievable. Do you remember a stretch where you have four or five teams winning five, six in a row like we're seeing right now?
Not really.
It's crazy.
I don't. And it's interesting, too, that things can change, clearly. But it looks like there's some separation between what the team that would be the second wild card coming out of the Metro and any other contender for a wild card. The Metro is kind of spaced out now. You've got this dead heat at the top right now with the Thoroughbreds at this point just matching stride for stride. But then you've got the bottom clubs, and you take a look at the Islanders or even the Maple. The Maple Leafs are in context, having a pretty good year, but they've already almost lost contact with the playoff race. And the Islanders are in so much trouble. They are
Ugh.
So far back,
that
it's very difficult. And it certainly looks like both wild cards are coming out of the Metro.
Yeah.
So in the Atlantic, if you don't finish in the top three, you're in trouble. And those standings are really interesting, the teams that are out of the playoffs right now, because if they don't get into the top three, it doesn't appear as though they're going to be a wild card team.
Where do you see the Rangers fitting in the Metro, Larry? Do you see them at the top, if you will, with the teams that the Pittsburgh and the Washington, who I think it's you expect them to be there, or do you see them more in the Philadelphia-Columbus category now, who have kind of exceeded expectations as well?
Good question. I don't think they match up with Pittsburgh quite, because they don't have a Crosby. let's face it.
No one does.
right. They don't. Well, no one has Crosby, but the Rangers really don't have a marquee difference maker.
Yeah.
They just don't. Pittsburgh does. Washington does. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Rangers to hang with those two teams all year. So, but at this point, it certainly isn't a pejorative to suggest that they're a Philadelphia Columbus type team either. because right now they're five very good teams.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Playing very well.
What a race. It's going to be a lot of fun down the stretch. Larry, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Special thanks to Larry Brooks, Hall of Famer in my opinion. He was a great mentor to me when I first entered this business. Good God, 17 and a half years ago. I'm getting old, Nick, but that was great stuff.
Yeah, he's been my go-to Ranger read since I was in middle school, waking up early to read the Post with breakfast.
Adam, we talked about the division. This is ridiculous. Pittsburgh's won 6 in a row. Columbus has won 7 in a row. Washington's won 5 in a row. And the Flyers, Wednesday night, are going for their 10th straight victory. This is ridiculous.
We are all, I can say, looking at our phones at the standings
right
now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, all in amazement of, you know, that L1 in the Rangers streak column is like, oh, what's that? Everyone else has a W next to them. It's just, it's nuts. I mean, I anticipate Washington is going to jump higher than everyone, I think.
Yeah.
I still view them as the best team, I think, even better than Pittsburgh. But, like, Columbus, you know, it really pains a lot of people in the hockey community to give credit to John Tortorella.
You have to.
He's a great coach, he's proving it right now.
He has a short shelf life, really, wherever he goes, because his act grows tiresome with players and meet and media, for sure. But the Blue Jackets have been unbelievable.
Yeah, he gets, for that shelf life, he gets the most out of his players. He reminds me a little bit of Rex Ryan, as far as guys love to play for him to a point. And then at some point, that point turns and he loses them. But in that stretch, when these guys rally behind their head coach, Tortorella has guys that play way over their heads.
Larry makes a great point out about the way the Atlantic is shaping up. Tampa Bay better pick its you-know-what up, because if they don't finish in the top three in the Atlantic, they might not make the playoffs.
I mean, there's a 9-point difference now between the last wild card spot and the Devils, who are the next team. It's like, it already seems like it's over. I mean, sure, Tampa's very capable of going on their own 9-game winning streak and freaking everybody out, but, you know, they're also in a strange position with Ben Bishop. Like, maybe they're kind of, they've played a lot of hockey the last couple of years. Maybe they're, Tampa the last few years has always felt to me like the Rangers have. They've kind of done what the Rangers have the year after. They went to the finals, then they went to the conference finals and lost, and now they're in that, like, weird kind of year.
And they keep losing Stamkos, does not help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I say this, I still would have signed Steven Stamkos
for
the Rangers.
Oh, I don't blame the Lightning for...
I blame Tampa Bay for all of his injuries. And the goalposts.
Yeah.
We can all agree that the Islanders are done, right? I mean, this is
ridiculous. Whoa, I thought that 3-game winning streak, you know.
They picked up 1 point in a 6-game point streak. 1 point. That's how crazy this Metro is.
The amount of teams that they have to jump.
There's no chance.
And, like, I think that I would see the Islanders making some sort of run. I think that they'll tighten it at a certain point. But, yeah, there's so many teams to jump over. There's so many teams that are playing well. And the Islanders just don't have enough guys going.
You can check out the Islanders Pulling Pike podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to talk about the goaltending situation. Jack Capuano threatening, not certain play, didn't mention names, but he certainly threatened some players after last night's loss. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Pulling Pike podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcast. All right, so, Nick, you asked Larry about where the Rangers fit in. I'm guessing third place at best. It's not a slight on them, but Washington has turned it around, as everybody expected. And Sidney Crosby, I've said this multiple times, is still the best player in the NHL.
I differ from opinion with Adam on one point here. I think Pittsburgh's the class. I think Pittsburgh will win the division, and I could see... Look, I could see the Rangers finishing anywhere from second to fifth, really. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me. I think... One of that second tier, the Rangers, the Flyers and the Blue Jackets. One of them, I think, is going to come crashing back to Earth to some extent. Yeah, I could see them still
nodding. It's Philly
getting into the playoffs. But either Philly or Columbus, right. I think, are going to be – it could even be the Rangers are going to end up in a dogfight for that last wild card spot.
I see Philly as the team that's dropping off. And I think Columbus will to an extent because – unless Bobrovsky just has one of those unbelievable, like, Tim Thomas seasons where his goals against is under two the whole year. And
he's won all but one game for them.
He has been unbelievable. He is one of those goaltenders where one year they're phenomenal, the next year it's like, where did that year come from? How is he so good? And now he's going to have another phenomenal season.
Yeah.
It's whatever it is, the difference in play from him from year to year is so staggering, but this seems like it's one of the good years.
I give a lot of credit to Dave Haxtell for the job that he's doing in Philadelphia. They keep finding ways to win games, but I think they're the team that's they're going to make the playoffs. They're going at this rate. There's no question about that. But I think they're the team that's going to kind of fall off the cliff a little bit.
I think that they're a team that last year went on a run, overachieved a little bit, and now they're again overachieving. Look, they're talented.
Yeah.
They're going to be there
or
in the future.
Voracek bounce back in a big way.
They're going to be right in there, you know, as we anticipate Columbus will be there in the future and, you know, continuing to make the Metro a crazy division. But I do think that they're still playing a little bit over their heads right now. I don't think they're there yet. They're certainly not as good as they're playing 9 wins in a row.
And Steve Mason's played well, but when you compare him to the other goalies in this division, Bobrovsky, like we talked about, Matt Murray's been fantastic. And then, of course, we expect Lundqvist to bounce back in a big way. So that I think that's kind of where the Flyers are going to drop off a little bit.
Mason's on a little bit of a lower level. He's shown flashes of being able to be a premier NHL goaltender, but maybe this is the year he puts it all together, Brian. But like you said, I think there's more reason to believe that they're the team that falls off than anybody else.
Man, I don't want to turn this into a Flyers podcast, but, man, they've made some bad trades. I mean, JVR for Luke Shen, the Bobrovsky trade. I mean, I know that he wasn't as good then, and I think they still had Brizgalov.
That was for Jeff Carter, right? Or no, was that?
I think that was a separate deal.
Yeah, they made a couple of trades.
Jeff Carter brought them
Voracek.
Okay, yeah.
Which was that's a great trade.
Right.
And Wayne Simmons, Mike Richards is also a trade that worked out for both teams. But I think that they're the team that will inevitably fall.
The one team to me, I think, is Washington that I'm still a little curious
about.
They'll
be fine.
They're a playoff team, but I don't know if
Volpe was great last night.
He he's very good, but I don't know where they are if they're. Do they make the run for the Stanley Cup, or at some point is the core just not enough to get there and they're a second round out at some point in the next year, 2 years again?
Here's what I think about Washington. What I think is scary about them is that they were so, so good all year last year and that now they're starting to trend in the right direction. And I think that they're going to be playing their best when it comes down to it at the end, which was not the case last year.
The Caps will be fine until the first day of the playoffs, and everybody's asking questions about, can you guys get over the hump, right?
But exactly. But I wonder if that's a team that could be more of a third or fourth this year as opposed to the dead set 1-2. I feel like they're more susceptible to fall a little bit than the Penguins. Just that defense this year, it doesn't – Niskanen didn't really, like, he got big money, but he hasn't really, he's not running the top power play. John Carlson's another guy who shows flashes. Orpik's still getting huge minutes there, and it feels like for years everybody expected him to fall off the face of the earth. Kuznetsov has been hot and cold this season. Outside of Backstrom and Ovechkin, I think these guys are risky.
They're a top two team. Great show, boys. See you next week. Thanks again to Larry Brooks. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.